My name is Paul Wise. I'm a professor of surgery at Washington University in St. Louis. I'm also the program director of general surgery, and it's my great privilege to introduce this session. This is the diverticulitis 2018 session. I know many of you who are in the audience deal with issues related to diverticulitis, and it seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same. So we do appreciate the ACS leadership for the privilege of the podium. I'd also like to introduce Dr. Jason Hall, who's associate professor of surgery. He's also the chief of colon and rectal surgery at Boston Medical Center as well. So due to time, we'll kind of forego much of the formalities. We don't have any relevant disclosures. We're going to go ahead and get started, and I'm going to let Dr. Hall introduce our first speaker. Please do silence any electronics that you have that may make noise. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us at our session. This morning's first speaker is Dr. Valentin Enfossum, who's an associate professor of surgery at the University of Arizona, and he's going to speak to he's going to speak to us about the operative management of uncomplicated diverticulitis. How many strikes and it's out?
Good morning. So I have nothing to disclose. So diverticulitis actually was first described by a French surgeon named Alexis Littré. That was back in 1700s. It took about 100 years or so for the diverticulitis again to be described by Grazer in 1899. But the surgical management of diverticulitis was first described by Mayo and his colleagues. In the last several years, we've seen an increase in diverticulosis, and this has been a major concern for our healthcare system. So approximately 10 to 20% of patients who actually have diverticulosis will end up developing diverticulitis in their lifetime. And we've seen an increase in diverticulitis with age. As the population ages, we see an increased incidence of diverticulitis. In one study recently published, there was a 26% increase in diverticulitis between 1998 and 2005. But we saw a more rapid increase in younger patients, up to 82% in patients aged between 18 and 44. So, during the course of several decades, we've also seen a significant increase of almost 29% in patients who had diverticulitis undergoing an operation, and especially in younger patients where that increase was up to about 73%. Of course, all these operations and increased incidence of diverticulitis has greatly stressed our healthcare system and cost about $2.4 billion in direct healthcare costs in the United States each year. So back in 1978, Hinchey and his colleagues actually classified complicated diverticulitis, and this was an attempt to actually define the disease better so that treatment options can be better tailored to the patient. Over the last several decades, we've seen that Hinchey classification modified from the four main classes now to several classes, and this actually includes patients that have uncomplicated diverticulitis. So what is uncomplicated diverticulitis? These are actually patients with diverticulitis that is localized, this is localized inflammation with just microperforation. So you see inflammation of the colon, but you don't see a frank abscess. So we would say this is Hinchey stages 0 to 1A. Anything beyond that is complicated diverticulitis. So these are patients who present with an abscess, a fistula, obstruction, bleeding, or perforation. So those are Hinchey class 1B to 4. So what would be, most of us would agree that the management of uncomplicated diverticulitis, initial management at least, would be treated as such. Most patients undergo bowel rest, IV fluids, and antibiotics and serial exams. This actually well-known management of acute diverticulitis has actually been challenged now, right? We see now that patients with uncomplicated diverticulitis don't really need to have antibiotics. So the multiple studies have been done on this, but the two randomized controlled trial here, which actually looks specifically at treating these patients who initially presented with uncomplicated diverticulitis without antibiotics or antibiotics. And in this study, both studies actually show that if you don't treat that patient with antibiotics, they actually do fare well, and it's not inferior to antibiotics treatment. And more importantly, it does not increase complications or recurrence rate. So what do we do with patients that have uncomplicated diverticulitis and undergo medical management? Is there a role for surgery here? Yes, there is a role, and we all know and manage these patients daily. But the question is, when do you operate on these patients? The old paradigm of two strikes, you're out, does that still hold? All right, so there's historical precedence to this. Back in 1969, Parks actually did a review of 521 cases where he looked at the natural history of diverticulitis of the colon. And, of the 521 patients that were reviewed in this study, 317 of them actually had just medical treatment, and the rest of them had surgical management. So of those, 78 of them, with 24.6%, were actually readmitted for a second attack. And 12 patients had a third attack, and 5 patients had a fourth attack. So, and you see in his review that 20 of the 78 patients that were reviewed actually went to have surgery, and medical treatment wasn't very rewarding. It actually shows that the patients that actually had a second attack actually did worse and did not respond well to medical treatment. That study or review also showed that morbidity and mortality associated with the recurrent attacks were higher than compared to the initial episode, and mortality rate actually doubled. So back in the 1990s, the American College of Colorectal Surgeons actually set up a task force to look at or come up with some guidelines on how to manage patients with sigmoid diverticulitis. That recommendations were actually reviewed again in 2000 by another task force, still sanctioned by the American Society of Colon and Rectal Surgeons. So this was a task force recommendations at that time, that the risk, in their findings, the risk of recurrent symptoms following an episode of diverticulitis actually ranged from 7 to 45%. And they stated that with each recurrent attack, the patient is less likely to respond to medical therapy. See, most of this, the literature review was, again, based on what Parks found in his review of 531 patients back in 1969. So in their recommendation, they actually recommended that 2 attacks of uncomplicated diverticulitis warranted resection. So then in 1999, the American College of Gastroenterology also set up a task force to try to address this problem of management of diverticulitis. Again, they found that there was a recurrence rate of 7 to 62%, and that recurrence rate patients were less likely, again, to respond to medical treatment, and they also have a high mortality and morbidity. They thus also recommended and supported the recommendation of the American Society of Colon and Rectal Surgeons that patients who actually have 2 episodes of diverticulitis should undergo an operation. They went a little bit further by recommending that, you know, it should still be individualized, and then the risk and benefits of having an operation should be tailored to the particular patients. So, but back then, things started shifting in 2005 when other investigators started looking at this whole concept of 2 strikes and you're out. If you have 2 episodes of diverticulitis, you then need to have an operation. And so James and his colleagues actually looked at elective surgery for acute diverticulitis, and reviewing the literature, they found no evidence to support the idea that elective surgery should follow 2 attacks of diverticulitis. And they asked for more prospective studies to be done to review this. Then I asked again, the Association of Colorectal Surgeons set up another panel late in the 2000s to again address this shifting paradigm of treatment of patients with acute diverticulitis. And in their recent studies, they looked at multiple studies that had been done, and the most recent studies actually showed that the natural biology of uncomplicated diverticulitis had a lower recurrence than had previously been proposed, so 13 to 23%. And more importantly, they showed that lower rates of subsequent diverticulitis they showed that patients who actually had recurrence do not normally end up in an emergency operation, just 6%. So they also showed that that the patients with more than two or more episodes of increased diverticulitis do not necessarily have a worse outcome. And they also showed that most patients who present with complicated diverticulitis actually do present so in their first attack. So they recommended that the decision to have elective colectomy after recovery from uncomplicated diverticulitis should be individualized. What that means is there's certain things that should be considered for that patient, and that would include the patient's lifestyle, recurrent attacks, inability to exclude carcinoma, severity of the attack, as well as the chronic lingering symptoms that may constitute a smoldering disease. They also recommended that routine elective resection based on young age is no longer recommended. Even though the conflicting data that shows that looks into age as it relates to the incidence of diverticulitis, with some literature saying that younger patients tend to have more increasing diverticulitis than older patients, but that literature is still very conflicting. So they're actually a very unique group of patients. These are patients that are transplant patients and also patients that are chronically on steroids. These patients actually, if they fail medical management, their mortality is high. So there should be a low threshold to recommend operative intervention as definitive treatment during the first hospitalization of these patients who have diverticulitis. And elective colectomy in anticipation of transplant, which is something we see routinely, is actually very controversial. So there's literature for and against that. Then the American Gastroenterology Association then came up with a new guidelines in 2015. Again, they reviewed the literature, and in question three, they said, should elective colonic resection be performed after initial episode of acute uncomplicated diverticulitis? And the response was that the decision to perform elective prophylactic colonic resection in the setting should be individualized. Again, this is reviewing the literature. And they found that 20% of patients with acute uncomplicated diverticulitis would see a recurrent episode in the following 5 years. But however, the risk of future complications and need for emergency surgery among these patients that were treated medically was actually low. So in conclusion, I'll state that patients with more than two episodes of uncomplicated diverticulitis are not at an increased risk for morbidity and mortality in comparison to patients who had fewer episodes. And more importantly, routine elective resection based on a young age is no longer recommended. And there should clearly be a lower threshold for patients who are immunocompromised, that's transplant patients, and also patients that are chronically on steroids. But the decision to recommend elective sigmoid colectomy after recovery from uncomplicated acute diverticulitis should be based on that particular patient and not that they've had two episodes in the past. Thank you.